Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer. Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org. The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raja Yoga meditation, positive thinking, stress-free living, and personal development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org. I rise above. I'm the master of my own mind. I sit here with a pure intention to gain mastery over my thoughts and therefore mastery over my words and actions. As I hear the thoughts through words of others, I ask myself, is that my truth? My original nature is one of love, peace, purity, truth, and joy. And sometimes when I hear the words that do not match my original nature, I have the choice to rise above and remember who I really am. As a master of my mind, I decide which thoughts stay and which thoughts must go. I choose to rise above. As I rise above in consciousness and interpretations of stories, narratives that no longer support my truth or present, greater power, greater peace, and acceptance for myself and others surrounds me in this moment. As a master of my mind, I rise above, replacing thoughts of fear, anger, greed, and divide, thoughts of belonging, respect, love, and wisdom. As I rise above, I find clarity, a deeper meaning, and the courage to continue to move on. rise above. And I remember who I am and why I'm here. And that is to love everyone the same. Let me sit in this state of being above. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. That was I Rise from Inclusion Revolution Together with Love from yours truly, which can be acquired on any outlet, especially Amazon. And if you happen to shop on Amazon, please type in one of your favorite nonprofits, America Meditating, and do your shopping so that we can continue to stay on air and keep offering the kinds of quality conversation that we do. The intention of America Meditating is to wake us up from this particular land to somehow begin to disseminate throughout the whole world that there are some awakened people here in this particular region. But that also, you know, there is a need for sometimes the newer civilization to somehow connect with older civilizations so that the story can feel some sense of completion, so that we can gain some sort of insight more on who we are, why we're here, who we belong to, and what's next. Today is my great pleasure to welcome world-renowned Vincent Jenna, who is a triple power psychic. Okay, now I'm getting a little nervous. Anyway, Vincent Jenna is a triple power psychic with the knowledge and experience of a licensed psychotherapist and the big charming personality of a showman. He combines his early background as a professional actor and singer and a master's in clinical social work and his hospice experience. He's helped hundreds of patients through the dying process with his uncanny skills as a metaphysician and a medium. Now, the sum total of these experiences and gifts can guide people not only to recognize what is preventing them from healing or attaining their dreams, but the necessary steps to get there. Thousands of followers worldwide have been inspired by his insightful interviews on major national broadcast radio and television shows, ranging from ABC, CBS, NBC, Hay House Radio, and much more. Today, it's my privilege to welcome Vincent Jenna to America Meditating Radio. Hi, Vincent.
Well, hello, Sister Jenna. It's so fabulous to meet you. We have something in common.
What is that?
Well, we do wonderful meditations.
That is true. I will agree with you on that. I think we might have a lot more in common, too. You might have heard my earlier introduction of you, like, uh-oh, okay. There's something about people who know how to read your inner world, and it makes us go, oh, okay. And then people just get a little bit, like, funny, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's so funny because it really depends upon the region. So yeah. I can travel all over the country and different parts of the world, whatever, and people are like, oh, wow, oh, could you please tell me, right? Now, I'm born and raised in New York. And whenever I've done an expo in New York, they turn around and say, I don't want to know what's coming up. I don't want to know my future. It's just like they've got some guilt or fear that something bad is going to happen to them. I think it's so funny, but everybody else is very curious.
And what do you think about that when there are some people who are just cautious about wanting to know what's in their future? Are they living from a fear modality?
Totally. They're living from a fear modality, but they're also living from a pain modality, which is what's caused their fears. If you're afraid of what's coming up the next day or your future, then you've got to be believing that you've come from someplace really dark and negative, thinking that there's going to be more dark and negative in front of you. And it's more than just, those are people with a negative attitude. Negative attitudes and negative beliefs come from experiences. And so they figure if the other shoe dropped, you know, back when I was a kid, it's going to drop again sometime in the future. And that's what they fear, you know, it's from their own evidence. We don't fear the unknown. That is a complete fallacy. We fear the known, or what we think is going to happen. I mean, that's why a child, a toddler who starts walking around, can walk right in the middle of the street because it doesn't know it can get hurt. So if we naturally feared the unknown, it wouldn't go into the street because it didn't know. I don't know anything about the street, so I'm not going to go there, right? We have to teach fears.
Mm-hmm. So what can we do, Vincent, to get rid of that fear? Because we have gone through a lot of living. For me, I believe I've had much more than one lifetime. So I use an acronym called ALGI all the time. It's like my breath, you know, anger, lust, greed, attachment, and ego. That's what it means. And so let's say lifetimes in my past, I'm performing actions with this motivation, this intention. I'm not thinking that in the future there's something waiting for me. So, of course, we all have to settle our karmic debts. We all know that. But what can we do if we go, okay, if I had known better, I would have done better. And now here I am. I want to do better for myself, but the fear is crippling me. What would you tell that person?
Okay. So we definitely, I want to add to what you said about karma, okay, which is really interesting, because one of the things that I have learned about karma is that it's a principle, not a law. In other words, there are different ways of settling karmic debt, and it's not about having to go through something in order to do that. Restitution versus retribution. So in other words, if I say, ooh, okay, that was not a good choice that I made in that last lifetime, I'm never going to do that again. That's enough. Mm. That's all we have to do.
I get that.
The problem is, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I totally get that. That is so true.
Yeah. The problem is because of the concept of retribution, and we see it in our own systems today, and it's even written in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth concept, right? Mm-hmm. We can't let go of our indiscretions, and so we think we need to put ourselves through something and punish ourselves or hurt ourselves. Now, that psychological process actually occurs just in one lifetime, right? Mm-hmm. While we're here unconsciously, if we get the belief system and the feeling that we're not good people because of the way we were treated while we were growing up and the messages we received, we're going to actually carry an unconscious thought of, I deserve to be punished. I deserve to lose my job. I deserve to not have love or suffer in finances or suffer in health. So I just did a whole program on my radio show about forgiveness. So one of the first things we need to do in order to break any of the patterns, whether we're here or whether it's going to be in returning, is forgiving ourselves, because we blame ourselves for everything, and we will automatically begin to lose the fear. The reason why we hold on to fear is because we have lack of love for ourselves. Is what creates fear. Love is God, love is spirit, and so when you lack it, and then you have nothing you're attached to, nothing great, nothing wonderful, then there's only fear left. That's the emotion, that's the feeling.
Wow, I love that.
So self-love, it's self-love. It has to begin with self-love and self-forgiveness for everything we've done. And then we stop those patterns and let go of the fears.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, in your own personal journey, you realized your mission, okay? You're doing it now. And you have been through some trauma and some pain experiences from a child. And as adults, we still go through them. But what was it? What did you do to turn your story around where it started to be more of a service to others?
Well, you know what happened, Sister Jenna, is I had my spiritual awakening at 28 years old. And even though I had this download of gifts and information, and it all stemmed out of a desire to help a friend whose life was falling apart, and I actually begged Spirit to give me the ability to be him, and then that's when this all started happening, I didn't even accept my gifts back then, okay? It wasn't until I started believing in myself that things turned. It wasn't until, as I was believing in myself, I had an unselfish desire to help my friend. So at the same time that I started working on me and my heart was opening up so much more about me, my heart was opening up for him, which was opening up my gifts and my abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to apply that, whatever I was doing to help heal him, I was doing for myself, which is, see, service. See, servitude is a concept we believe we're here for, but what we're not understanding is that the first person we need to service is ourselves. It's all the pains and the hardships and the lack of self-love that we have to love ourselves as at the same time that we then begin to love our neighbors. And we can't love our neighbors and help our neighbors until you love yourself. It's a totally one aspect feeding the other aspect. I love Neil Donald Walsh's book, Conversations with God, book one. Mm-hmm. God turns around and says, I wish all of you down there were 100% selfish, because if you were, you would be helping each other constantly because of how great it feels.
Wow, that's powerful.
Right. He says the type of selfishness you have down there is not real selfishness, because you don't do for yourself at all. You think you do. You think you're trying to compensate for feeling bad, but that's all you're doing is you're trying to compensate. But if you really loved yourselves and cared about yourselves, you would automatically go out there and help a neighbor. You know, it's so funny. I tell my clients all the time, what is it what we do? When we see a good movie, we're all by ourselves, we watch a great movie, what's the first thing we do when we're done watching the movie? We call up our friends, our families, we go, oh my gosh, you've got to see this movie. It's incredible. And you know what? When you go to see it, I'll go with you. Why do we do that? It's because not only are we capable of enjoying things, but we get more enjoyment out of watching somebody else enjoy it.
Yeah, I guess we're very acute voyeurs, there's no doubt. You know, and that's an interesting point here for me to intervene, because we have become very wired to look on the outside of ourselves. And yes, it helps us to sometimes look very much on what's going on the inside. However, I do believe there's something even deeper wanting our attention, but we're not allowing ourselves to get to that place. And you have a message that you share out there about, you know, stopping yourself. A few years ago, I was sitting in reflection, and I just said, I could just feel a thought from God emerging and just saying, get out of my way so I can do more through you. So I got that. And, you know, my way was more the I, the me, the my consciousness, feeling like, you know, you still have to bring your human energy to make things happen. And it sometimes makes you think, do I really question the energy of good, the energy of God? So what is your message when you tell folks, stop stopping yourself?
Wow. Yeah, that's a beautiful thought right there in what you were saying. Yes, getting out of your way.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is there's psychological anomalies that actually occur, okay, that keep you from knowing what it is you're really believing. So all of my work hinges around the concept of most people don't believe what they think they believe, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a level of your mind I call the adult-made mind that harbors all of your defense mechanisms. And that level and those defense mechanisms were created specifically by your brain, your own brain, to shield you and protect you from the original set of self-beliefs you had, okay? And those self-beliefs are harbored in what I call the environmental-made mind. It's the mind that was created basically for you as a child from all the messages that you did receive. I also call them the I'm not. All the negative messages we receive as a child, because we're very egocentric growing up, it translates into something is wrong with me. Either I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough, handsome enough, lovable enough, worthy enough, whatever. Those are the first set of beliefs we wind up developing. And then through our entire adult lives, that part of our brain creates a new set of beliefs to protect us. So your brain has two major functions. One, to keep you alive, and two, to protect you in order to keep you alive. Those are the two highest functions of every human brain. So the protective part helps you not only physically, helps you emotionally. It will protect you from those pains. So the reason why we stop ourselves is because our defense mechanisms get in the way. We don't get to heal what's really bothering us because we don't even know what's really bothering us and what we really believe because we have a defense mechanism shielding it. But because of our spiritual nature now, and here's the greatest thing, which is the reason why psychology alone and going to therapists alone is not enough, because they never include the next layer, the deeper layer. We're powers, we're manifesting forces, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're tapped into that God force, and through that we're capable of creating our entire lives, consciously or unconsciously, what we want or what we don't want. And it's based on our inner core beliefs. So with the way I help people is first recognize what is it you have in your life that you don't want, and what is it you have in your life that you do want? You created all of that. And that's how you know what you're really believing. So those people who say, oh, I've been divorced 3 times. I can't find a love in my life. There's no good guys out there. There's no good girls out there. Nobody's available. I'm like, no. That's not the reason why you don't have love in your life. You don't have love in your life. It's the most natural thing to attract into every human being's life. You don't have love because you don't believe you're lovable. What are you talking about? I believe I'm lovable. No, you don't. It's the shielding and the defense mechanisms that keep people from believing what they really believe.
Yes.
And once you see what you really believe about yourself, that's when you can heal it. Everybody, I burst their bubbles. This is what I do most of my time all day long, is I burst people's bubbles. You know, they're sitting there thinking they have such great beliefs in their lives, and I'm sitting there going, well, then why are you sitting in front of me telling me you don't have this and that and this and that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so obviously your beliefs aren't working for you, or you don't have you're not in touch with your real beliefs. And when I put them in touch with their real beliefs, the healing process starts. So that's what I help people with, is getting out of their way, getting out of their defensive way, getting out of their way of when they turn around and say, I believe in God, I believe in source, I believe in power, and yet you see them with all these fears.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do you really believe then? And don't be afraid to admit you don't. But
yes,
don't kid
yes.
yourself either, because it's not working then.
You know, one of the things, Vincent, I've really paid a lot of attention to is a particular virtue that I find the most important virtue to have every one of us live a life of joy. And that
I
is to be honest.
That.
It's honesty.
Oh,
it's just
yeah.
to be honest with yourself. And, you know, we are so wrapped up in the game of projecting and how others are supposed to see us that we've lost so much of who we are. We've even lost the ability to have a sincere conversation with ourselves. And so the honesty is a real important virtue for me. And speaking
Absolutely.
About that, we're in a particular cycle as Americans, but also globally, that honesty is becoming a virtue that a few individuals, a lot of people are struggling to live through, to live out. You and I are both living in the United States of America. Our show is
yeah.
listened to across the globe. I'm in Washington, D.C. I assume you are in...
Oh, my God.
Where are you
I'm
located?
In Raleigh, North Carolina. You're
well,
closer
we're still
to
close
it
by.
Than me. I know, but
all
you're
right,
closer
so look,
to the source.
with all your gifts and your quiet moments, because I'm aware that when you are as intuitive and as gifted as you are, Mr. Vincent Jenna, that I know that there are things that you are seeing that if you were to really reveal to the whole world, we would either wake up right now or just run to the mountaintop or run like crazy. What do you feel? What's your inner world signaling to you in the gentlest of terms that is happening to us as a country? And what do you think it will be like in another 5 years, so to speak, if that's even important to us. But
yeah.
How do you see us in our future?
Okay. Wow. That was so, so beautifully put, tactfully put. Eloquent, Sister Jenna, is I come from New York and I couldn't even put it as well as you just stated it about genuineness and honesty. So I'm going to do the best I can to be as gentle as possible. What I believe is occurring, and this is not a Christian concept or thing, the book of Revelation was about revelation. Right? And what does revelation mean? To reveal. And it's only in the revealing of the problem, which is what I just finished saying, do we begin to get a healing. Everything written in that book is symbolic. For example, there's seven seals that need to be broken open. And as the Christ breaks open each seal, there's new chaos. Well, those seven seals are our chakras. There are spiritual centers. And each one, as of today, because of so many things we've been through from lifetime to lifetime, is filled with a bunch of negative stuff and garbage. And every time you break one open, it has to be released and healed. We are actually seeing the process. The book of Revelation is living out right now. And here's the hope as well as here's the caution.
Mm-hmm.
We either work on it and heal it as we see it coming to the surface, which is what all this dishonesty is about. You know, our leader is a reflection. Our politics is a cause. It's a cause of our society. And our society is a cause of our individual lives. If we looked at everything that's going on in the United States, as well as the world, as an individualized experience, we can recognize that within ourselves we are doing nothing but lying. And that's exactly what we see. Everything you see in the external world is what's occurring in the internal world. I just finished saying that, right? People said, turn around and they tell themselves, oh, I believe I'm lovable. No, you don't. You went through heck growing up in your life and you have such negative experiences. How can you possibly say you think you're lovable? You can't possibly believe that. Your finances are terrible. You can't possibly believe that you're worthy of abundance. Your health is miserable. You're punishing yourself for something. And so we lie to ourselves every single day. And the lies that look the way they look on the outside, which has gotten so bad, is exactly what's been going on the inside. But we've hidden it so well that over the past couple of years, what happened in the United States that shocked everybody would shock each individual. If they really reflected inside, they would be turning around and saying the exact same thing they said after the election and they started hearing all of their friends and family who they sided with. They'd be turning around and saying that about themselves. Oh, my God, I cannot believe I've been believing that way, or I've been thinking that way, or I've been feeling that way. And it's all the negatives we harbor about ourselves, about lives. So that is what's happening right now is the book of Revelation. So here's the thing. Just as in the same, the Old Testament writes the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, those are all metaphoric and metaphysical messages from the past. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah is our capacity to destroy ourselves. We did it once before in Atlantis, okay, and destroy things down here on the planet. We can't destroy the soul ever. We're going to live forever. But we try not to destroy anything else and mess it up because this is such a beautiful place. But if we don't follow that revelation and start revealing and healing, we will be in self-destruct mode. In the next 5 years, it's going to say it all. We're either going to wipe the slate, Sister Sarah, and start all over again, or we're going to start learning. It's up to us completely.
So, okay, tell us about the chakra process that you mentioned that what the revelation is the opening of the chakra. Okay, so
yeah.
we have been given the mirror of what deception looks like and how it makes us feel and the way that we live as a result of deception.
Right.
So basically what you're saying is we really just have to play out the waiting game, and we as individuals really do have to work on ourselves or perish.
Absolutely. And here's and what a fabulous question. Nobody has ever asked me some of the questions that you're asking me right now. And you're definitely very courageous in asking those questions. Thank you for that. Opening up the chakras is the starting system. We have 7 of them, right? Thank goodness we don't have more than that. Otherwise, we'd never get the process done. So we start off with the first one. The first center actually is, as I also, and the listeners should also not just look at Eastern world beliefs on the chakras, but also Western world. Edgar Cayce was a contemporary prophet of our times that put out some great information, and I love his explanations about the spiritual centers. To him, they're the 7 major glands of our body. And each one represents an emotional and physical area of our life. So, if, for example, the first center are our gonads. And for a man, the gonads is in his prostate. A woman, it's in her uterus. And so paying attention to your own gender identity. What do you feel it is like to be a man? What do you feel it is like to be a woman? Is it balanced? Do you feel your divine masculine, your divine feminine? Do you feel like a wonderful, loving, nurturing, intuitive, intelligent woman? What does that all mean to you and how out of balance it is? We can't even get that straight. And I'm not talking about homosexuality. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that don't honor themselves as either because they never had great examples before them when they were growing up. So a woman doesn't even know these days what it is to be a woman. You know, it's not just marching up and down the street and getting your rights. It's about feeling how incredible you are as an intuitive, emotional, creative, loving, nurturing human being who's also capable of being loyal and thinking and reasoning and smart, but tender and caring. And so they don't ever feel themselves as princesses anymore. And so you've got to start there, just the same as the masculine. This I've done a summit just on that for men to help men heal because they don't have great examples. Being a man has nothing to do with going off to war and fighting somebody. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. But are you courageous enough to believe in yourself and take risks? That's what it is. So when you break open that seal, you'll recognize all the issues you have with your gender identity.
So may I add there, Vincent, that as a man, am I courageous enough to stand strong in whatever physical way I need to show up? And am I equally courageous enough to be sensitive, to be emotional, even to cry and to express how I'm feeling? Because to me, that's what a man is about.
Oh, totally, totally. And we intentionally have chosen one specific or the other because we just want to experience ourselves that way. Each lifetime, we choose a different gender and even a different sexual intention in order to experience ourselves in different ways. Otherwise, we'd be really boring spiritual beings. You know,
yes,
I'm telling you. So as you go up the line, like, for example, your third center, okay, is your adrenal glands, actually, and that's your gut. And that's where the gut feeling comes in. Are you listening to your gut feeling? Is there a block there? Do you avoid everything that comes up because you're so afraid of receiving negative messages from that environmental-made mind that I talked about yourself, that you're even blocking off your intuitive messages? You got to clear that center out. Then the love center, which is the next one. So as you go all the way up to the top, each one represents something important that you have to work on. And as you do, and that's the whole reason why we created the chakra system to start with, is to control our use of our power. When we first came down here on Earth, it was as if we were children let loose in Toys R Us with no adult supervision. And we went wild with everything. And then we started experiencing our own power, uncontrolled power. Actually, that's the whole message about the Garden of Eden and the Tree of Knowledge and what we did there and how we lost the Garden of Eden. We lost the Garden of Eden because we tapped into our power way before we could handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we went back to the other side and said, well, we can't do it that way anymore. And that's when we created the chakra system that said we will not have full use. We'll have some use, but we won't have full use of who we really are until we get everything in alignment, because we need a checks and balances system here. And here's the funny thing. Once again, as an example, we created the United States to be an example of a lot of things. And one of the things we did was to create checks and balances. Again, we externalized what we knew internally had
right.
to be done.
Right.
And when everything is out of whack, it looks exactly like it looks like in the United States today, and then extending worldwide. It's anarchy. It's everybody is believing what they want to believe. Everybody is believing in lies. And quite honestly, that exactly is what the Antichrist is.
Say that one more
time. It's exactly what the Antichrist is, which is why we're going through the book of Revelation. The Antichrist is not a devil, and it's not a being. It's living in the opposite of humankind connected to God. And
that's what Christ means.
Man with God is what the word Christ means. So is man without God.
Yeah, without compassion, without love, without respect, without appreciation.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the trait. See, when we say God, see, it's so funny. We think of, because religion has created God into just this being, we're not paying attention to the traits of the being, like you just mentioned, compassion, love, kindness, caring. You know, all of that is exactly what God is together. And so we're disconnected from that. And it looks like what it looks like right now. That's what it looks like. So we either get it together, okay, or we're going to hell in a handbasket, our own hell.
I'm going to vote for the part that we're going to get it together, because...
So am I.
There's something about us. We are all souls. We're all energies. We are playing out a part. Once the soul hits matter, there's going to be a beautiful movie erecting out of that. And it just seems that... when energy reaches a point where we have not been doing our checks and balance, we've not been taking care of ourselves, there is chaos. And chaos doesn't need anything to keep it in chaos. It's just chaos. But when we want to put something in order, there is energy required. So comes meditation, reflection, what is getting in our way, what is stopping us from stopping ourselves from moving forward. And perhaps one of the things that have really inspired me, Vincent, about the times that we're in is the fact that we can now choose to awaken our lives, awaken each other through the way that we live our lives, and to find gratitude in maybe the smallest of things. So I know that every morning I get up at 3:30, 4 o'clock, and that's my ritual to listen to my conscience, to have God's energy of love and light keep filling me up so I can serve from that place and not from all of my karmic issues which I have to work on. What practices or rituals do you follow to strengthen your spiritual growth?
Oh, that's really interesting. I wish they were as beautiful as yours. And that was so well put again, once again, the way you just explained that. It's so interesting because everybody's practices are personal. And so from the moment I wake up, I'm in communication. I start talking with my soul and I start talking with the God force and any of the universal forces that are out there working with me for the day. Okay, who's with me today? What are we going to accomplish today? And I'm automatically grateful. But I do pay attention to that. Thank you so much. I woke up today. That gives me a chance to do more. when I sit and no matter where they direct me, whether it is to do some writing, whether it is to do my readings with individuals, it's all about empowering and inspiring. And it's so interesting because you asked me to give my impression and my senses as to what the future is going to bring. And there may be a lot of people who think that I sound negative. And I'm like, okay, all right, I understand you'd be thinking that, okay? And I have to put together, okay, so why did I choose to be born in New York? Why did I choose to be born in an Italian family? Why did I choose to be so arrogant at times and so strong and bold? And all I keep hearing is because of the times, it's not a matter of holding anybody by the hand anymore. It's a matter of grabbing them by the shoulders and moving them out of the way of the beam that's headed right towards their heads from the tall building above. So, you know, that doesn't always look pleasant when you have to save somebody's life, right? So I asked every single day, I said, well, you tell me how I'm supposed to respond, react, and let me know if I'm doing it right. Help me keep my balance. Help me keep my intention. Help me stay genuine. And then on top of that, one of the things that I do, part of the gratitude that I have, is I'm so grateful for the choices I am making. Every Thanksgiving, I do a show trying to teach people that they're not necessarily being grateful for the right thing. You know, you're not supposed to be grateful that you don't have it as bad as your neighbor. Okay, that's not a gratitude thing. All right. Oh, my God. Thank goodness I'm not like that sucker next door and have all of his problems. That's not what you're supposed to be grateful for. What you are supposed to be grateful for is the choices that you do make that help your life to be beneficial, that you do appreciate a source, a God, a spirit, that you're choosing, because that's what free will is about. And so I reinforce every day for myself that which I've done good and that which I'd like to do better. And then I'm inspired. If I'm feeling good about myself, then I know the next thing that I'm going to be doing is going to be fine. And I don't have to worry then about, am I going to get this done and that done? Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I'll go through my list and go, okay, I've got to get this done today. And then all of a sudden, because of my open communication, I do open meditation as well as regular sitting, quiet meditation to listen. My open meditation is always hearing what's coming from inside of me, who's communicating with me. And I'll always hear stuff like, no, you don't have to worry about that. Okay, yeah, no, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Didn't mean to think the word or say the word worry. I'm not thinking about things I have to get done because I'll be guided to do that. So I open communication. That's my ritual. And then I listen. So there's ways of doing it quietly, and then there's ways of doing it openly. You know, I can do it in the car. If I'm driving in the car, I am doing nothing but having self-conversation. I am talking in my head. I'm talking with myself. I'm talking with God. I'm talking with everybody.
We have that in common, too.
Oh, good. I mean, come on. You know, those are good things to do. People don't have enough self-talk. They have so much negative self-talk.
Yeah.
And they're talking about everything else that's going on in the world, but they're not talking with themselves about themselves. So you see, mindfulness, and I love mindfulness and Eckhart Tolle about the here and now, and Jon Kabat-Zinn, who wrote Wherever You Go, There You Are. There's a reason for mindfulness, you know. Even Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries. Just think about today. The reason why you stay in your conscious mind and in the moment is not only to enjoy it, but if you get a negative thought, instead of it fleeting by so quickly because you're not paying attention to it, you can instantaneously stop it and change it.
Yes.
That's my habit.
I get that. That's a perfect habit, everyone, and I think everyone should follow that habit. And one of the things, we just got a message that I didn't ask you, and I know we have to close the conversation, but I'm enjoying it so much, and so is everyone else. One lady just wrote about how do you do your work in terms of doing your psychic readings.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's the difference.
If she's asking technically, if people will either make appointments with me in person or by phone. The majority of the readings that I do are from all over the world. I tend to go in immediately and connect with somebody's soul. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm deeper. I also have a psychology degree and a psychotherapy degree and practice in the past. So I can go into the part of the psyche and the mind that most other psychics and mediums don't go. I want to see the block. I want to see what's stopping you from whatever your question is. It's going to be about romance. It's going to be about career. It's going to be about finance. It's going to be about health. I can go in there and I can see what's stopping you from having what you want. I help to unblock and release your passions and your purpose, and then I give you the key to make everything that you attempt work. So I use my abilities, all of them, my psychotherapy ability, my psychic ability, my mediumship. I will always have somebody comes and visits either a deceased loved one or even a perpetrator, somebody who has hurt you or harmed you, who's deceased now, will come along and help with those messages, because it's all about helping you and to heal and empowering you. So yes, that's how I use my abilities and gifts, and it doesn't make a difference where you are in the world. I can connect to the same source and the same place where all information about all of us is harbored. And so that's what gives me the ability to step in there. That's my technical as well as my emotional technique.
Beautiful. Well, thank you. Is there a website that they can get in touch with you on?
Absolutely. All they have to do is go to VincentGenna.com, but my last name is spelled G-E-N-N-A, which is different, but pronounced the exact same way as Jenna. And that's what I was as soon as I saw Sister Jenna, I'm like, oh, this is meant to be. It's just like, my last name is Jenna. Your first name is Jenna. That's absolutely beautiful. What an incredible connection.
I think we're going to be a great team together. Vincent, Jenna, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a delight.
And Sister Jenna, thank you for having me. You are a light. And so
thank you. I so
appreciate being able to share on your show. Thank you.
All the very best. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was world-renowned Vincent Jenna, a triple power psychic. And I think if you're like me, you got so much from that conversation. And yes, from the text messages that we're getting, there will be a part two. I'll definitely invite Vincent back on. So listen, there's stuff going on inside of us. Be honest. Check it. Be honest with where you are. As Vincent was saying, you claim you love God, but you're walking around like that? What's up? You really believe it? So go deep. We can open up all of these areas within our beings that are still blocked, and it's okay. Don't be hard on yourself if you really feel you've messed up. The best thing that you could do is just say, I messed up. Can you help me? And the stage of humility that is required to be able to move that. And I think what I took a lot from Vincent's conversation, but what I did like also, stop stopping yourself. So for more information, please go to Vincent Jenna with a G-E-N-N-A.com for more information and find out more about the great work that he's doing. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, my dear. And we are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. Here's Lifted by Bliss. Take care, everyone.
The perfect love.
Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.